Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Hurton phone conference line.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Hi, Nancy. I've never heard of K2 before. I'm glad you're going to talk about it.
Well, and there's so much we may have to break it into two, but I learned some things I've never heard before.
Well, I'd better break it into small pieces so that we have a little chat time in between along the way.
Okay. All right. So did you sell your home? Did you get an offer on your home? From the
no.
Two? Oh, okay.
Nope.
All right. Well, now it's... if I get online. Okay.
Here are the slides I have, Nancy. I'll show them to you while nobody... Oh, you're not on here.
Well, just a second. Let me put you on speaker.
I thought I'd see a picture of the baby on the pet pad here, but I don't see it. Good morning.
Good morning, this is Doug.
Good morning, Doug.
I'm using a different microphone today, so I'll probably mute again if there's some noise turns up.
Okay, well, it seems like I can hear you better than usual.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's good to hear. What was that? Good morning.
That's Nancy's out there.
Your voice sounds closer, I think.
Oh, good, okay.
Are you on the speaker? Nancy, what kind of speaker are you on? Are you on a speakerphone right now or something?
I am, because I was trying to use both hands to get on the internet.
Okay, now you can see?
It's coming up just a moment. Yes. Oh, a beautiful picture. Okay.
I don't know if you want these words here or first or not. And I have this by itself, and then I just have this. That's all I have.
Oh, good.
So where do you want these words? Or you want this first? Or this first? Oh, I can't move it here, but you can tell me which one you want when it's time.
All right. Probably the one of the vegetables. Well, both of them would be good.
Okay. I'll follow what you say, whatever you're talking about.
Okay. Actually, next week we can go into more of where we get them, but... Ruth, in case, now I looked up NATTO. That is our best source, and it is a Japanese, but I don't know if you could find a picture. There is a picture here I could send you. And we probably eat it when we go to a Oriental restaurant. But it looks like soybeans that they have soaked. And let me shoot this over to you. Hold a second.
It's pretty hard for me to get it up at this point.
Oh, okay. But it just looks like soybeans.
It's time for us to get started.
Sure.
Oh, I know what that is. That's natto.
Oh. Okay, let's talk about it when Nancy does it. Okay, that's good. Now you have a on-the-spot person here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. I'm going to mute the chimes first.
Okay, good morning. It's Mary Lou. I was muted.
So good morning, everyone, on the phone and on the screen. You know, one of the things we could tell people that if you're on the phone and you want to be on the screen but you don't want people to know us to call on you, you can just put A-N-O-N for anonymous, or you can put a state, just put your state, me from Arizona or wherever, A-Z, and then we won't call on you. We'll know you don't want us to call on you. You can just speak up if you want to. So, all right, so we are the Health Style Call, and on our screen we have some people who are involved and have been involved. Health Style is a mission mission is to teach and support the practice of habitual health choices so that we will become more mind and body fit. If you miss a call, you can go, you probably got an email, and you can read that there. Nancy said she has a lot of information on the subject she's got today, and since I've never heard of it, I'm excited to hear what she's going to tell us. With our health style call, we have a journal, and it gives us an outline of a 10-point program, kind of the basics, and Mary Lou covers that on Monday. And so if you want to listen to it in a hurry, you can listen to it on a Monday call on allswell.org. If you have any questions about that, please do ask them at the end of our call here. And so today we have, today is Thursday, and that is Nancy Gilmer's day. She is a silver from Houston, Texas, or that thereabouts. And here's Nancy, and she's going to tell you what she's talking about.
Good morning, everyone. And today the subject is Day 2, and we've briefly mentioned it throughout our call, that it helped with our bone formation. But today Dr. Mercola is going to educate us a little bit more on it. So I think we'll break this into two segments because he did cover quite a bit. He says over 10 years since he began educating himself, helping people to understand the importance of vitamin D, especially vitamin D3, but he says he was not alone in this effort. Many others contributed to helping overcome some of the myths about sunlight and how critical vitamin D is for our overall health. And now he believes another nutrient appropriately labeled the forgotten vitamin is about to explode in popularity as researchers are uncovering more of its spectacular health benefits every day. He says, why has it been forgotten and somewhat ignored for over 80 years? He said, I'm not sure anyone can really answer why this vitamin's health-enhancing benefits have been so overlooked, but certainly there's a clue to its importance here because in some areas of the world, like India, government health agencies regulate this vitamin. If this nutrient did not have any beneficial health advantages, why would it be regulated by government health agencies? Plus, your potential benefits from this extraordinary nutrient are pretty much off the chart. For example, this vitamin helps you build strong bones and keep them healthy. It helps boost your vascular arteries and veins. Your vascular system, being the arteries and veins. It promotes your healthy heart, helps you fight against premature aging, enhances your memory function. He says, and this is just the start. There are synthetic forms of this nutrient that may put your health at risk. So it's important to make sure you fully understand what to look for. In other words, he's indicating there are two different types. It's hard to understand why this vitamin has been so overlooked over the years, and estimates range as high as 99% of the population could be deficient in this nutrient. There are many conditions where you could be putting yourself at risk for a higher likelihood of deficiency. First of all, this vitamin is fat soluble. Fat soluble simply means that dietary fat is necessary for efficient absorption. So if your diet does not contain adequate amounts of dietary fat, your absorption of this nutrient could be impacted. There are additional conditions that could increase your risk of deficiency in this essential vitamin. They are eating a poor or restricted diet, having certain conditions like Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, celiac, and others, that interfere with nutrient absorption. Dealing with a liver condition that interferes with vitamin vitamin storage. Taking certain medications such as broad spectrum antibiotics, cholesterol drugs, and potentially aspirin that may impact or block vitamin absorption. Another one is eating foods containing the wrong type of this vitamin with poor bioavailability. He says the synthetic pretenders, what to look for and to avoid. If you haven't figured out what the forgotten vitamin is by now, let me tell you that this new wonder kid on the block is vitamin K. You can rest assured that in the next few years, you will hear the media rave about its benefits. But fortunately, since you are reading Mercola.com, you can learn about this long before the rest of the population discovers its benefits. Danish scientist Dr. Henrik Dahm discovered vitamin K in 1929. The K is for coagulation, essential for blood clotting, but it only starts there. Vitamin K is unique because it has multiple effects in your body, but doesn't demonstrate any known toxicity. With research focused on potential effects on your skeletal system, brain, liver, and pancreas, vitamin K is one of the most promising nutrients of our time. But you should know about the different types, and in particular, know which synthetic type to be on the lookout for. There are three main forms of vitamin K. There's K1, K2, and K3. K3 is a synthetic variant of the vitamin, which I don't recommend for human consumption. This is the one you and your family need to avoid at all costs. Green leafy vegetables, including lettuce, broccoli, spinach, they contain vitamin K1, and it makes up about 90% of the vitamin K in the Western-style diet. The vitamin K, which I recommend, is K2, which is natural, non-toxic, and made in your body as well. K2 includes several menaquinones. He talks about the different types of those, and all of you can get this article from Dr. Mercola, and you can read up on all of that. But he's talking here about MKN, and then MK4, MK7, and then 8 and 9. And they are, especially like the 7, 8, and 9, they are found in fermented food products like cheese and natto. And Ruth, maybe this would be a good time to let Doug talk about his experience with natto. Is it pronounced that way, Doug?
Yes, natto.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fermented beans, soy beans. I ate them quite a lot over there. I like them. Most Westerners don't because they're sort of sticky and stringy when you pick them up with a fork. The smell is not the greatest either, I guess, although I got so I liked it. But my wife couldn't stand it being in the same room with me. If that gives you any clue. The reason I started eating it was I asked my Japanese students, my English students, what is the most healthy things in Japan that you can find in the store that's fairly inexpensive and is very good for you? And they told me, you probably won't like this, because most Westerners don't like this. And a lot of Japanese don't even eat it. But they tell us it's one of the best things for your health. So I said, okay, what is it? And they explained it to me. I couldn't find it in the store for a long time. It's in the refrigerator section in little styrofoam cases, so I couldn't find it by looking very easily. It was hidden. But it only cost about less than $1 for each little package. And you can eat one a day. And I think I might have read someplace that it's one of the top sources for vitamin K. But I'm sure that Nancy's got better information than that.
Well, that's exactly what Dr. Mercola said. That is the best source. But he did indicate that most people do not like the taste of it.
Yeah. And it's very hard to get in the United States.
Oh.
It's very hard to get. You can go maybe to an Asian store, but even the Koreans don't have it. It's a distinctly Japanese food. I don't think the Chinese have it either, so it's not real popular because there's a lot of people outside of Japan that really don't like the taste of it.
I have a question. Doug, you said it was stringy. I assumed that it was soybeans we were talking about, but are they still in their little shell, or are they
like
a green bean?
No, they're sort of brown in color. They've been, you can, I've actually thought about start and doing my own. You can wrap it in, you can wrap the beans in, they use some kind of big broadleaf and wrapped it up, and they just let it sit there. And I got some very good natto from one.
Okay, thank you.
Well, now the picture they show.
But what I mean by stringy.
Go ahead.
Are you waiting for me? Okay.
What? Disappeared again.
What's that? Very spoiled. And it's actually slimy, I guess is a closer word for it.
That's what
that, the soybeans actually kind of stick together in this kind of a slime, I guess. It sounds really bad to say that.
Sounds lovely.
But, and then you pick it up with your fork, or I use chopsticks for it, and it will leave a trail behind it. So you gotta have to kind of eat it, and it gets over all over your face a little bit when you're not skilled at eating it. So I'm not a very good salesman about this, but that's what it's like. And I got so that I ate it for dessert. Sometimes I just go get some because I wanted some. I go get some out of the refrigerator for a snack, you know. And so I got started eating several of them a day, and sometimes three a day, rather than just one in the morning.
Yeah, thanks.
So I miss it.
Well, they show it here on the Wikipedia site on a bed of rice, but with the chopsticks as they're lifting it up in the picture, it is in these trails, grimy.
Right. That's, well, I also ate it straight. They do put it on as a condiment many times. And some of my Japanese students couldn't believe that I just ate it straight out of the container. And, but I did. I just liked it a lot. So I ate it straight. But I had it on rice sometimes too. And you can put it on other things as a condiment. So that's very typical.
I guess we better let Nancy tell us about some more things instead of.
Yeah, right. Let's go on.
Well, anyway, here on the Wikipedia, they said it's especially used as a breakfast food. Can't imagine that. But it shows it in a bean form, like the soybean, and is a rich source of protein. And they do talk about the powerful smell, the strong flavor, and slippery texture. Okay. So we're back to, he says, natto is a fermented soybean food It comes loaded with a healthy bacteria called Bacillus subtilis that may also serve as a probiotic. Fermented foods like natto typically have the highest concentration of vitamin K in the human diet. Levels of vitamin K found in natto have been shown to far exceed those amounts found in dark green vegetables. In fact, vitamin K2 concentration after the consumption of natto has been shown to be about 10 times higher than that of vitamin K, which are in the vegetables, after eating spinach. Just eating spinach alone, this is 10 times higher. Unfortunately, most people do not enjoy or eat many fermented foods. And the absorption of vitamin K1 through eating green leafy vegetables is not very efficient. Some research shows only about 10 to 15% gets absorbed even when consumed with dietary fat. The problem with natto is that most people do not enjoy eating it because they find it very distasteful. It has a slippery texture with a strong flavor and pungent aroma. Some people do acquire taste over time, but many never do. And why most people may be deficient in vitamin K is they simply may not be eating the right food to provide what's needed. So what can be done to solve this issue? That's where I can offer more recommendations to help out, he says. And then before he addresses that, he says he'd like to say that the natto issue and the fact that it comes from, about the fact that it comes from soy. If you've been a visitor to my site, you're probably already aware that I'm not a big fan of soy. But if you look closely, there is one exception, and that is why this type of soy could be helpful for you. And he says it's because of the fermentation. Many people still believe unfermented and processed soy products like soy milk, soy cheese, soy burgers, and soy ice cream are actually helpful when nothing could be further from the truth. Today's high-tech processing methods leave toxic and carcinogenic residues created by high temperatures, high pressure, alkali and acid baths, and petroleum solvents in unfermented soy. Can any of you think about, well, for instance, we were looking on the containers of soy milk, weren't we, not too long ago, and found the word carrageenan, or carrageenan, which kind of means this. It is a chemical like that. Natto does not come from unfermented soy. It's derived from healthful fermented soy and provides an extraordinary rich source of vitamin K. While natto is the most potent natural source of vitamin K2, the nutrient is also readily available in fermented dairy products, especially cheeses. Most cheeses are rich in vitamin K2, particularly curd, and even though it's not as high as vitamin K2 in the natto, curd cheese may be more palatable on a day-to-day basis for many people. Raw curd cheese made from grass-fed cows would be the best. And he mentioned again about most people have a difficult time with the taste of natto, especially on the regular basis, needed for healthy absorption of the vitamin K. And curd cheese is also a good vitamin K2 source because it's lower in fat, he says animal fat, than regular cheese. when compared to natto in equal portion. Japanese food natto contains over 27 times more vitamin K than curd cheese. That's quite a bit. And he says, sure, there is a blood test, but this classic measure of, there is no good vitamin K2 test. One of the reasons vitamin D became so popular is that a relatively inexpensive test became commercially available in the 90s. That allowed researchers and clinicians to gain a better understanding of vitamin D. Unfortunately, there really isn't a great commercially assay for vitamin K2 yet. He says, sure, there is a blood test, but this classic measure of vitamin K deficiency uses clotting time and what's called prothrombin, which provides almost no value for determining vitamin K deficiency in your bones or arteries. In fact, in some cases, blood levels of vitamin K may appear normal while a real deficiency exists in your bones. So more work needs to be done in the area of vitamin K deficiency testing. As this forgotten vitamin gets more and more of the attention it deserves, I'm confident modern medical science will determine a more accurate test, just like the comprehensive test eventually created for the vitamin D. With potential health advantages in addition to the ones already mentioned, in which vitamin K has been shown to promote your heart health, protect and support your skin, provide the calcium path key from your bloodstream to your bones, boost your overall immune system, help regulate calcification of your tissues, provides you powerful antioxidant benefits, protect your cells against oxidative damage, and aid in supporting your already normal blood sugar levels. It's only a matter of time before a more comprehensive test evolves. In the meantime, it's important to take vitamin K deficiency seriously and take action to provide yourself and your loved ones with enough vitamin K. Any comments at this point?
I wondered about the GMO problem with vitamin K. I think that Korea, I think it was Korea that does not allow genetically modified things, or they have to be labeled. But I don't know if they make this. I don't even know how to spell it, this fermented soy. But what about the, does he say anything about the genetically modified soy?
Not thus far in this part, but maybe later on. Since I knew I wasn't going to be able to cover all of it, I didn't finish reading the rest of the pages, so maybe he'll get into that. But here's another thing that kind of bothers me is when the source of them are only in these countries like Japan and all, can we really trust the way they make it? I guess that's always what I think about when things cannot be produced over here. I don't know if you feel that way, but
that's true, but anymore, I don't know if we can, maybe we can trust them more than we can trust us, because a lot of them don't allow the GMO where our country is.
Right. Or at least they require labeling. I know that Europe does, EU does. I just wrote a list of the countries that do require it to be labeled.
Now, we do have a picture of that somewhere. And that's a problem with the soy. But from the sounds of the texture of the natto, then we can get it from other foods.
Yeah, I wonder how. 27 times as much spinach. How do we spell this thing?
N-A-T-T-O. And when I looked that up, it didn't really give a short A, so I was pronouncing it NATO, but it is a long O. But I'm not sure. The locals probably over there, they pronounce it the correct way. So.
Okay.
This is,
it's
Natto. Natto is how it's said. Okay, that's probably the correct pronunciation.
So we could go to a Japanese grocery store and ask for it and maybe get it in the refrigerator.
So, Doug, you've already tried that and it's really hard to...
Well, I can't remember the name of that store down in Bellevue. The store down in Bellevue, I don't remember. It's been a while since we lived down there, well over 10 years, so. That had a lot of that type of, they did have some Japanese food when I went in there checking before we went to Japan. But I haven't been back there since we've been back, so. Of course, I didn't know what to look for before we went.
Probably you don't know where you live?
Excuse me?
So it probably depends on where you live, if there's a Japanese store in the area.
Yeah, well, some Asian stores carry a wide range for the different ethnic groups in in Asia. Some of them are strictly, you know, geared toward Koreans or, you know, Vietnamese or it kind of depends on the store.
Well, and next time we'll go into how this vitamin actually goes to work for you. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, did he have a source at the end of this article? I mean, or a recommendation or what?
Well, he references a lot of different studies, and but you'll be receiving this link, so that will access to that. But... Oh, and here at the very end, I do see, must be a non-GMO. So he does get into talking about that.
Oh, good. So next Thursday, you're going to go on with this?
Yes, we'll continue on.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the slide here, and did I miss something? It's, Ruth, the vitamin K is the most usable form of vitamin K, or vitamin K2. And then you've got the vitamin B12s here. Are they tied together somehow?
Do you know, Nancy? Because I looked at vitamin K and I got this slide, and then they're talking about cheese, and so then I went ahead and used the slide.
Well, maybe they are kind of linked together. That I don't know. It would kind of make sense that these things work together, but now maybe he's going to be covering that more.
So the vitamin K2 is not, I just bought some D with K, but it has K2 in it.
That's the one.
You bought the correct one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's put out by Natural Factors, vitamin K and D. It says vitamin K2, menaquinone as MK/7 from natto bean, and then has 120 micrograms of that, and vitamin D as cholecalciferol.
Did you say menaquinone?
MENAQUINONE. That was in parentheses, and then it said as MK/7 parentheses from natto bean.
Wow! Wow, that sounds tastier than the bean.
Okay, the reason I ask is that the vitamin K in our mega vitamins are Kens and the Mega Dailies. It's called, in our K, it shows that it is actually the MENAQ7, which sounds to me then like a vitamin in our multivitamins. We're then taking a vitamin K2, which Dr. Merkel says is the best. So
yeah, it sounds similar. That sounds like that might be it.
Actually, I make it daily.
He has here the MK7, MK8, and MK9 found in fermented food products like cheese and natto. So that's good.
Also, Dr. Naidu has vitamin K in our calcium in our osteodents, our caldents, I should say. He has vitamin K in there also. And there again, that's because of the one of the transportation systems that helps get the calcium and stuff to our bones.
Mm-hmm. And Joan, on that product that you were looking at, does it use the term D3 or just D?
It says vitamin D, parenthesis, as, and then here's a word, CHOLECALCIFEROL. It doesn't say which D it is. I just assumed it was the good D, but good grief. If they're going to go so far as to put K2 in it, don't you think they'd put the right D?
Yeah, and maybe that's what that word means.
Yeah, this brand name is called Natural Factors.
Joan, did you say that C-O-L-E?
C-O-L. Boy, but this is a vision test, or what is this? I'm sorry, C-H-O-L. Then E-C-A.
Okay. That's the same word that's on the Caldense for vitamin D3.
Okay. Gee, you need a degree to even buy stuff anymore.
This is true.
Also, one of the things I just like to say about vitamin K is that if you have people that have had strokes or they're taking blood thinners or whatever. I know when mother had her stroke, that was one of the first things that they gave me a list of, and that was not to give her any vitamin K or to give her a lot of leafy greens because vitamin K, and Nancy mentioned it, actually helps with clotting of the blood. So you don't want people that have particular medical situations that need thinner blood to stay away as much as they can from vitamin K.
So what I'm understanding is you can have it in your diet, but then you have to get your INRs checked more frequently and make sure that you're not getting too much. But then you have to stay on that regimen and get that same amount of green leafy vegetables each day or week or whatever. I guess daily almost. But most doctors just, I guess they try to simplify everything and just say to stay away from it, but you can have part of it, but you just have to make sure you go more frequently to get your INR checked.
Yeah, I had to take Mom in every 30 days to have that done to check to see what her blood levels were and her thinness or thickness. And then they determined how much to either raise or lower her blood thinning medication.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Nancy.
So, oh, you're welcome.
My time's about up.
All right.
That is up. So tomorrow was Friday? Go ahead, Nancy.
Oh, I was just looking at a little note here from Mary Lou. From Mary Lou to everyone. She says, I'll pass. I don't.
That was on the stringy. Okay. That was on stringing stuff. that you guys were explaining that stringy, slimy soybean.
Okay, so next Thursday we'll find out how much we ought to be taking of this stuff, and be able to figure out if the amount in, whether we need to add any additions if we're taking the Nikon vitamin and osteodent. It's in the calcium, right?
It is.
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, we can figure that out next Thursday,
then we
right?
have our green leafy vegetables. We eat a lot of green leafy vegetables. I would suppose we'd have enough.
So I may not have to go eat this slime.
I don't think I've ever eaten curd, to my knowledge, but have any of you eaten
Oh, yes, curds? Sure. It's like cottage cheese, but it's a little more, less tasty, less cream.
Okay. But when you go to the grocery store, what are you looking for? Is it labeled curd or in some other form?
Well, you might be able to get farmers. Sometimes it's farmer's cheese. It's what's left over after, I think, they make cheese. I'm not sure what it is exactly. You know,
curds and whey.
Right, and we're talking about, I ate this in 19, it's cheaper, I ate it in 1976 when I was in Houston, Texas, so I don't know what, just something I found that was cheap.
One of the things that I became acquainted with vitamin K very early in my life because I had so many nosebleeds all the time, and so they had me taking vitamin K. So I would imagine that if you're short in vitamin K, you would be bleeding, bruising, things like that. And so if you're not, well, then you're probably doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Nancy will probably tell us more about that next week.
Okay.
And tomorrow... Monty will tell us about
everything.
I don't know what. Tomorrow's Monty's day. Well, we will find out. So you guys all have a great day, and we'll get on our way here.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Bye.